Om Shanti. Good morning. Om Shanti and Namaste. It's good that on the day of the sun, all the snow has gone, so you could come. Interesting how the rain can wipe out everything. Clear everything, wipe out everything. From Baba's Murali today, again, be reminded of many things, but it seems that the day Baba has spoken this Murali, Avyakt Bap Dada, it's April. We're hearing the April 83 Muralis, and it's the days when in Pandav Bhavan, Om Shanti Bhavan has just started, so everyone's very excited, and many others who haven't been able to come to Madhuban for a few years, because we just had the meditation hall that was the largest, imagine, just 300, 400 people squashed into the meditation hall in Pandav Bhavan, and suddenly we had space for 3,000, but we didn't have accommodation. But everybody said, that's fine. In April, we can be in tents. And of course, guess what's happened? The rain has come. And so it seems that the rain has really brought down all the tents. And Baba's commented on nature. Baba doesn't use the word climate change, and I don't even know what the word for climate is in Hindi. So Baba doesn't use that term. But in 83, I hadn't heard of climate change, but I'd heard about Baba saying that in the final days, it'll be the elements that will create much upheaval. And of course, there's the image of Nataraj and the figure of Shankar dancing and all his arms and legs moving around. And that, of course, is the image of not a human or even a deity, but it's the memorial of all the elements dancing all around, all the five elements dancing. And so when the elements begin to dance, human beings begin to quake and shake. And so Baba's asking whether everyone is unshakable. And it seems that mostly they are. But just thinking that I heard about climate change in 93. It was first mentioned at the UN in 72 in Stockholm, but I discovered that much later. But I heard about it at the First World Parliament, the Second World Parliament of Religions in Chicago. And here is Baba talking about it right from the 30s, because this image of natural disasters, civil war, and the final war, all of those things were seen by Brahma Baba and then seen by many other trans messengers. So Baba's been describing all of this. But in 83, it was visible, because in April you don't get monsoon rains. You get them in June, July, depending on what's going on. And so Baba knows, and Baba teaches us how to prepare. And not so much now, because now there's lots of books on self-development out there, but a little while earlier, there were lots and lots of books available on how to. Lots of books on that subject of how to care for your garden, how to care for your health, how to, you know, everything under the sun. But I was thinking that Baba has taught us how to care for the soul and how to care for others. And of course, then that means the world. And how to, the first step that Baba reminds us of again and again, where are your thoughts going? Are your thoughts going in the direction of truth which means, are your thoughts going in the direction of gyan? And if I'm asking myself the question, what does Baba say? It means, what is it that the Murali is saying? Then I'll know what Baba is saying. So am I occupied and engaged in thinking about gyan? So Baba's talked about manan, chintan, the thoughts about gyan, and manan, where you're reflecting on gyan. And so what's going on? What's going on in my mind? Is it the direction that Baba wants me to go in? Or is it, Baba saying, just that one question, why? How often do I have this question in my mind? Why something, anything, anything, anything? Why? Why do they not call me? Why didn't they come and see me? Why this, why that, why the other? Anything. And that one question is going to lead to a torrent of other ways, thoughts, and my energy is going to go, it's going to be sapped. And so, in order to stop this question of why, if I'm keeping my mind engaged with reflection and churning of Baba's truth, Baba's knowledge, then it means I'll be safe. I won't have time for this question, why? I'll already be exploring and understanding how to look at a particular situation from Baba's perspective. And so, practice. One is churn, and the other is practice. So let me practice the things that Baba's telling me to do. I think the big difference between the early days of the Dadis and Karachi and Abu and today is that they practiced, and certainly they had work to do. They weren't sitting just meditating all the time. They had their tasks, and their tasks were like that Janki's described, from morning through till night, because the only time that she had for reading the Murali was through the night. She wanted to catch up, and so Baba said, yes, read every Murali 5 times, and she decided she'd read every Murali 21 times. So how did she make time for that? She renounced to sleep. And so through the night, for the first 6 months, she didn't actually go to bed. She sat at her desk, put her head down on the table, and just had a little doze, and then again. So if you're having a little doze, it's 15 minutes, 20 minutes, not more than that. But today we use the excuse we don't have time. And I'm not suggesting that you give up your sleep, because there's other things to be done through the day. But certainly that attention. What's going on in my mind? Because that's where Maya begins, that's where waste begins, that's where I can either be my best friend or my own enemy. And so the Gita reminds us of this. One of the main practices that Baba always talks about is soul consciousness, first day's lesson. But in today's Murali, Baba's used the term the observer, because Baba's talking about, well, where is it that your attachments lie? Are your attachments with your body? Are your attachments with other people? Are your attachments with things? I lose my mobile phone. What happens? I'm not saying forget it, because then you'll have to probably get a new one. But just to be aware, what are the things I'm keeping and using that are expensive? I had a Parker pen when I was 15 years old, and I used it for all my exams. Biros came a bit later, but it was a very nice pen and very comfortable to write with. You know how you get used to something. And so I was used to this little pen. And I came to the center in Agra, October 68, and two things that I thought were normal were definitely not normal in India in those days. One was my nylon saris. Can you imagine washing a little cotton handkerchief? And I'd never done that, because here you don't, you put everything in the wash in the machine. But 6 yards. And I'm sure nobody here has actually washed 6 yards of cotton in cold water in winter. I can more or less predict that. Well, this was the norm. And so first it was the nylon saris, and I had to very quickly give up those, because people who were coming to the museum commented. They weren't shy. They'd say, "You're talking about renunciation. Why are you wearing nylon?" They said it to me. I'm 19 years old and I'm shocked at what they're saying, and I take it seriously. I don't want to hear this comment again. And so 6 yards of cotton. So that went pretty fast. Then a month or so later, about a month or so later, my Parker pen disappeared. And later we found it, but the brother in charge, Mahendra Bhai, Baba used to call him King Mahendra, very powerful soul, and he left. So he was the one to start service in Agra, in Bhopal, various other places, and his family had an interesting history. Harpur, the big story in near Delhi, and Harpur is the place of sugar. So his aunt was the one who was involved in that story big time, and he was like 15, 16 years old, and he used to, her house was being guarded, purity, troubles, reactions, all of those things were going on, long story, but his role in that was that because he was young and part of the family, he was able to go in, and he would be sneaking in muralis to her. So amazing stories of the early days. But he said to me, after this pen had disappeared, what happens if at the end you're thinking about your Parker pen and not Baba? So this is a test. And yes, probably you'll find it, but you should think about it. How attached are you to that pen? And of course, when I got it, then it went to Ishudadi. In those days, we used to give things to Ishudadi to give to whoever in the yagya. But then it's not me, then it's the yagya. So what is it I'm attached to? A little thing, Baba said, can create many, many waste thoughts. And so am I preparing myself for that moment when really I can be sure that it's only Baba and only Baba and nothing else? So attachments. But within that, Baba's also given us an exercise to do. Baba's asked, are you able to be the observer? Sakshi, and sometimes we translate it as detached observer, but either way, am I able to be detached from my own skin? And that doesn't just mean this, but everything associated with it, position, possessions, identity, the way I see myself, the way others see me. It's a long, 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 long list. And it's what we teach first day's lesson. But my own practice, and even if I practiced for a year, 5 years, 10 years, the habit of body consciousness and being attached to my skin is 2,500 years old. I can't say I've practiced enough. I haven't. And so it needs that constant attention. I can't complain. Baba said, have no complaints about you or others. Not about yourself, not about others. And if I've got a complaint about myself, that I'm not able to do this, I'm not able to change my samskara. There's a reason. And so let me find the reason and start practicing. And I was thinking that soul consciousness and stepping out of my skin and being able to see this body as separate, that's one particular practice. The second practice is being here and being the master in charge. And these two practices I think we do regularly. But the third practice, which I think is more and more needed, is to be able to be in Paramdham, to be in my home, and from my home be able to look down and see my role and then others also. And Baba said, the more you practice this stage of being the detached observer, the closer you can be with Baba, Sakshi Sati, Baba's companion, but also the soul practicing this zero consciousness becomes the hero. And so what is my role here? Am I able to play the role that Baba would like me to play? And it's nothing to do with position or anything, but just being Baba's instrument in whatever is the situation that comes in front of me. And being an instrument can mean 1,001 things, and all of those are correct. It's not one or two or five things, but whatever. And so let me be able to practice this zero consciousness up there where literally everything is merged and I am the soul. That's it, nothing else attached. But also then being able to look down on the stage so that then I can see the connection I have with others, but the connection of soul to soul, not any other connection. And another subject that Baba's often talked about comes up again very, very strongly. A little bit different. It's always a little bit different. But asking myself the question, am I content with my own effort? Am I content with my own stage? Am I content with the service that I'm doing? Not in terms of anyone else, but just what is it bringing for me? Is it bringing me spiritual joy? Is it bringing me spiritual power? And so to check, am I content? And then, not that I am content with others, because that will come within the first question, but can I feel that whatever it is I do, others are content with me? And I should be able to get that feeling. And if I'm not getting that feeling, what's wrong? And so again, that exploration and examination, so the checking and then practicing what Baba has told me so that I can change and others will be able to see that change in a visible way. It's not hidden, but transformation is visible. Even if it's my transformation in terms of my attitude, is that hidden? The work I've done is hidden. They don't know how much I'm practicing being the soul, being the point. But the results are not invisible. The results are very visible. What is my attitude? My body language will tell you. My tone of voice will tell you. And my drishti will tell you, definitely. And so change is visible. When there's a change inside, the work is incognito, but the change is visible. And so two words really, really are key in our effort in Sangam Yuga. Churning, just reflecting on what Baba says, and secondly, the practice of those things. Simple things, but as I practice them, I'll see the results of it all. I'll see it for myself and I'll be content and know that, yes, things are going in the right way, I'm on track. So if today, in the little things that come, and they'll come 20 times a day, maybe 40 times a day, why? Catch yourself. When is it that I'm asking the question, why? And it'll give you many answers about what are the things that are pressing your buttons. What is it that's making me ask this question, why? And so I need to answer those questions for myself and be able to sort things out. Because more and more what we're seeing in terms of Madhuban, in terms of Baba, in terms of the Dadis, drama is gentle. Drama isn't treating us roughly. Drama is gradually giving us space and time to rehearse. What is it I'm dependent on? Is it the weather? Well, I'm going to get a shock. Is it facilities? Well, the boiler's going to break down. There's going to be no heating. And then British Gas are going to say, oh, what can we do? We've got 10,000 people calling us. Whatever it is. Little tests, but am I stable within all of that? And in my stability, am I content? So all of these things are happening right now. Not that they're going to happen in future. What is for sure is that it's going to multiply. It's not going to get better until we are karmatit and ready to go home. This is why Baba says, hurry up. It's not just for you, but it's for the whole world. And we're at least still very protected and safe and comfortable. More so than millions of others, really we are. And so let me count my blessings also and gratitude for what I have even now, even though there's a few things that are not in place. It's okay, I have a lot to be grateful for. But also as I prepare quickly inside that state of stability that Baba wants, then other souls who don't know how to, they don't know the method of preparation, they'll then be able to take benefit from our role and take some solace, some peace, some power, some purity, something. But they'll be liberated and we can go home soon. So I'm not invoking anything, but I'm just seeing that this is the rehearsal time in a very intense way. And I know that many have come back from Madhuban, but I'm going to call Maureen, Sister Maureen, up on stage, and tomorrow more time for sharings. And there's a tiny little piece of Madhuban flavor, because today we are offering bhog for Holi, and so appropriate that there's a tiny, tiny little piece of the Madhuban cookie, the sweet cookie that you have for breakfast and bhog sometimes. So just a little flavor of that for everyone on your bhog plate. Om Shanti. Om Shanti. Good morning, brothers and sisters. Nice to be back in the cold and I don't know if Sister Jenty remembered, but the boiler has broken down in Sukdam. So we're enjoying the cold. And I think the thing I'm most attached to at this moment is my hot water bottle. So, and it's got a furry cover. It's very nice. Okay. But yes, it's good to have that opportunity to be in Madhuban, and there are always different phases to the visit. And I suppose I'm thinking, what's the fragrance I've come back with? And I think, not unlike what Sister Jenty was talking about,
One, certainly the togetherness of the family and how important it is to support each other and be together. And the other, yes, being prepared for things that are going to come. And I think in myself, I'm telling myself, it's so important that I don't get disappointed about anything. Because when tests come, the subtle thing that happens is that you get a little bit disappointed, and then that starts the whole queue of questions. The first phase was meetings, and meetings, and more meetings. But there really was a lovely feeling of togetherness in the meeting, and in the smaller meetings, the spiritual conversations about what it means now for all of us to step up in our spiritual efforts and also in terms of our responsibility. And we've come up with a very nice theme for the year to come. And the theme Nimit, which means being an instrument. Nimit, responsibility with humility. It's a nice theme, isn't it? And so it really embodies what we need to do, I feel, or what I need to do more and more of. The NCCC meeting had a very nice Caribbean flavour, and I think you missed the Caribbean carnival at the end. In the last evening we were in Tapuan, and we had nice supper and all of that, but before that the carnival came out, all the carnival costumes and lots of music and lots of dancing, so that was really nice. And it actually reminded me, I think it was 93 or 94, when we did the big Caribbean event here. Does anybody remember that? It was amazing. So that feeling of upliftment was beautiful. So there was all of that. And Daddy was very good coming every evening to the meeting. And then when the big conference started, she came morning and evening to the conference, and Hansa was laughing. She was saying, you know, usually we don't know Daddy's timetable. Maybe she'll come at this time or that time. But while the conference was on, she was ready before time and saying, okay, right, now it's time to go. a lot of enthusiasm. But anyway, just back to the meetings, to see all of Baba's children from all over, again, with that feeling of togetherness, a lot of lightness, a lot of good feelings among friends, really. And, of course, the 12th was Baba's meeting, but, of course, Daddy Gulzar couldn't be there, although now she's getting a little stronger, and she's still in hospital, but let's see how things go. But, you know, it's so incredible. You've all experienced it. Okay, there's a video, there's the people on stage, but the atmosphere, you really feel like you're preparing for Baba's meeting, right? It doesn't feel any different. And I always laugh when the video comes on and it says, okay, when Baba says, now double foreigners stand up, and we all stand up, and I laugh, I think, this is a video, but why not? Let's stand up. but you know, you're in front of Baba, everything's happening from the subtle region. And I think it was Wadi who pointed out, well, Baba was there speaking the Murli, and then when it came time for the group, suddenly there were flowers around Baba. But they do it very, very well, so well. And it reminded me, just like when we used to go to Madhavan in the early days, you could feel, and until now, you could feel that they were doing everything to give us that Sakar experience. And now, like, the Madhavan Nivasi is doing everything to make sure people really retain that avyakta experience, and it's happening. So that was very lovely. And the conference was very special. I haven't been at one of those very big conferences for a long time, but I mean, I wasn't there much, but I was there definitely the first evening, and dipped in a little bit. But they had some speakers from abroad. They had a very impressive setup. I mean, Shatuan just becomes transformed, decoration, new dining room, everything. And one of the people who came was, and Guatemi or Riverbend had mentioned it here, General Obasanjo, so you say his name, who's the former president of Nigeria. Many of you will recognize the name. And he's now in his 80s, and he actually came especially for the conference. He knows India. He studied in India for a year when he was training in military school, and he would keep coming back to India every year, so he has a lot of love for India. But he came especially for this conference, and I did a morning meditation with him and his wife and others who were with him. His bodyguard is 79 years old, and he's 80. But actually, he looks so stocky that, you know, you wouldn't mess with him. But I think they all felt very relaxed in Motherburn. And actually, he's coming to London at some point, so I think he intends to visit here. And he was very receptive to the little bit of gyan that was shared, and particularly the qualities of the soul, the original state of the soul. And then he asked, if this is what we should be, why are we not all like that? Which is a question many new people ask. Very sweet. So that was an interesting scene. And then, so the conference, and then following that, one of the things when Daddy, excuse me. Bless you. When Daddy was with one of the retreats, she was just saying to us, just be present. Just let everything flow. Just be in front of Baba. Don't think about anything. Really use touching power and catching power in everything. And you felt she was just in that stage. She was just present there, and Baba was there. And you felt that that's all she relies on all the time. Touching power, catching power. Nothing else. And love, of course, we see Daddy in such a loving stage. So that was very sweet to be with Daddy, and I'd asked her for a message for something, and something she said there are two ways to approach life, either with arrogance or with wisdom. And I really like that. And whatever's for the public's also for us, is my truth, or all the Srimad Baba's given me. Is that how I'm approaching life, or is there anything else? It's very lovely. Then on the way back, I spent 2 days in Abu Dhabi. I hadn't been there before, in the Middle East. And they have an incredible setup there. They have inner space, but the way they've adapted everything to Arab culture and the situation is very, very inspiring. And to see how that adaptation happens without losing even 1% the essence of Gyan and Baba and the atmosphere. I mean, very, very good. And the Friday morning is like Sunday there, so I think there was about 18 of us, maybe 20, and very international from all different places, but actually the majority from Muslim background. And they're there listening to Baba's Murli. And so Sona and Mohit, the instruments there, the couple there, have really, really, really worked in a yogic way to bring souls close to Baba. And so there were a few programs and sustenance for the family. And interesting that when I got there, it was raining. Very unusual to have rain in those countries. And over the few days, the 2 days, it was raining, a bit windy, maybe to prepare me for Britain, I don't know. But Sunna was saying that, you know, they send these chemicals into the atmosphere to seed rain in the clouds. So interesting what technology can do, and also when you, you know, have wealth to do that kind of thing. So very interesting, very, very lovely place, very quite relaxing on the way back. So yes, it was interesting, it was enriching, and also lovely to be back with everyone. Thank you, and lovely to have Sister Jenti to welcome us back. Unexpected scenes in the drama, but all very good scenes in the drama, of course. So, Om Shanti, thank you very much.
Thank you.